Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. This week, we're going to take a look at some key U.S. Senate and gubernatorial races shaping up for 2026, because there's been some developments this past week. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman.
Let us start out a retirement, I believe the first retirement to be announced for the 2026 cycle. Want to fill us in on who is retiring, where, and the impact?
Well, it's the first Democrat to announce their retirement. We also had Mitch McConnell earlier this year formally declare that he will not seek re-election, and that big Kentucky race that's shaping up with Nate Morris and possibly Andy Barr, and not to mention Daniel Cameron, who had won attorney general race there and lost his race for governor against Andy Beshear. But this week, Gene Shaheen, who is a member that I think was elected in the 2008 class with the Democrats, she announced that she will not seek re-election for the United States Senate seat in New Hampshire. And, you know, this is one of those races that a couple of big dogs are looking at running on the Republican side, and it'll be exciting to see if we can get a top-tier candidate to flip that seat and enhance the Republican majority. We're talking about former Governor Chris Sununu being, I think, the front-runner candidate. If he chooses to run, I think he would almost completely clear the field and, you know, get a lot of national attention from the donor class and from the committees. I think he'd be a top recruit for the National Republican Senatorial Committee and Tim Scott. And then the other candidate is a former U.S. Senator from another state, Scott Brown. You might remember Scott Brown because after Ted Kennedy passed away, Scott Brown won the special election that ultimately prevented the Democrats from having a 60-seat majority in the United States Senate. It was, you know, a unique example where in Massachusetts we elected a Republican, right? But that can happen in special elections. Obviously, this is, we're looking at a primary. And the unique thing about New Hampshire is that this is a really, really late primary. The primary is not until September of 2006. So when you know it's going to be a big, expensive general election race, I have a feeling that they're going to do their best to clear the field early and not have, you know, two big Republicans, you know, duking it out here for 18 months before we can get going toward the general election. I would imagine that they can clear the field with one of the candidates.
Meanwhile, over in the state of Michigan, Scott, we have an open seat, but we have a big name decided he's not going to seek the Senate seat. Who is that, and what's the impact there?
Gary Peters announced that he's not going to seek re-election in Michigan either, and there's been a lot of rumors about Mayor Pete, the former Secretary of Transportation, having moved to Michigan with his husband, and he announced this week he's actually going to take a pass on it and not run for the United States Senate. And with Mayor Pete not running, it's going to be a big open race. We'll figure out who the Republican nominee is going to be, but that's absolutely one of the targets that Republicans want to pick up. It'll be a challenge because Donald Trump picked up the sort of forgotten voter, the soft Democrat. A lot of them came his way to win a close race in Michigan over Kamala Harris. And, you know, the history shows it's difficult to maintain that, you know, enthusiasm for a midterm election after your party's won the White House.
There also is going to be an open seat for governor in Michigan. Buttigieg looking at that, or is he just going to take a pass on 2026?
Well, we're not quite sure for that. You know, there's a bunch of Democrats that I think are looking at running or have declared, and they are, you know, big-time statewide candidates already, including Michigan's Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. She was elected Secretary of State in 2018 and then reelected. So I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats that try to rally behind her. You also have a guy named Garland Gilchrist, and he's the current Lieutenant Governor of Michigan. So if Mayor Pete decides to get in that race, he's definitely not going to clear the field. And I think he'd be running, you know, really a bruising primary against two statewide elected officials. So that one's probably not the best option for him. I think he'd be smart to go ahead and just retire from elected office altogether if it was up to me. but obviously he's got presidential ambitions for 2028 as well. But, you know, we've got other big gubernatorial races all throughout the country. This week, the Club for Growth announced our endorsement of Byron Donalds in the state of Florida for governor. Byron is 100% on the Club for Growth PAC scorecard and has just been a tremendous leader in the House. We're excited to be supporting him. I think he'll be a tremendous governor.
There are other gubernatorial races. A couple of weeks ago, Scott, we did talk about the fact we have two races for governor this year in Virginia and New Jersey. Looking around the country, do you see other major states, particularly states that are swing states, that are going to have very competitive races for governor next year?
So you have a re-election for the governor of Nevada. You've got an open seat in Ohio where Vivek Ramaswamy is running, and I think he will be the next governor of Ohio. You've got a big race actually in Kansas, of all places, where there's a Democrat governor, but we have a real shot with a strong Republican candidate. I think that primary will be competitive. Jeff Collier is one of those candidates. You've got races in areas like Tennessee where Marsha Blackburn is expected to run. You've got a big race, an open seat in Wyoming where Mark Gordon is term limited. And, you know, a number of people are looking at running, including potentially Harriet Hageman, who is currently in the United States House of Representatives, representing the entire state in an at-large district. You've got, you know, I'm bouncing around here all over the country, if it makes sense. But even a race in Wisconsin where, Eric Hovde was our United States Senate nominee, lost a really close race to Tammy Baldwin in November. He's considering running in Wisconsin, and so is Tom Tiffany, a U.S. congressman from the 7th District. That'd be a competitive primary. I think that, both of those guys are sort of testing the waters right now. Neither has declared their intention. But, you know, Wisconsin, again, one of these states like Michigan, where President Trump performed well. What does 2026 look like? And can we actually flip these seats? It's going to be really exciting. We know that there's a lot of big races ahead of us.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the Club for Growth and where can we find you on the web?
Club for Growth is united in that idea of economic freedom, opportunity, and liberty. If anybody wants to check us out, the website is clubforgrowth.org. You can sign up for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you again for being here.
You're welcome.